ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the NIIT Limited Q2 FY20 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, Managing Director and Vice Chairman of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you very much for joining us on this call, which is to discuss the quarter two business performance and future direction mainly. But in addition to that, we would also take you through some of the progress that has been made on the buyback arrangement that NIIT had announced on 10th of August. Also, the impact of the recent changes in income tax rules and how they have affected NIIT. And as mentioned before, a special committee was set up by the board, which was to give recommendations on certain topics, and we'll discuss that progress. Part of their recommendations have already been implemented, and Sapnesh will take us through that as he talks about the quarter two performance. But I think more interesting would be right now to discuss the business performance. So I hand you over to Sapnesh Lalla, who's the CEO of the company, and also with me are the senior leadership team of NIIT Limited, and we will all be very happy to address questions after his initial brief. So over to you, Sapnesh.
Thanks, Vijay, and thanks everyone for joining this call. Please note that the analysis that I discuss will be on a year-on-year basis. Also, in line with our earlier stated strategy to reduce exposure to low-margin capital-intensive products and services, the business of our 100% subsidiary, NIIT Yuvajyoti Limited, has become very small, and to simplify operations of the subsidiary, we are going to discontinue this subsidiary's operations. All of its commitments, including commitments to customers, to various stakeholders, will be honored by NIIT. In view of that, the business has now been classified as discontinued operations, and in accordance with accounting standards, the net impact of this business is now reported under the head profit and loss from discontinued operations. The previous quarter's results have now been reclassified for a like-to-like comparison. I wanted to make sure that you were clear about that before we get started and dive into the results. In terms of highlights, our revenue is up 5% on a year-on-year basis at 2,365 million. Our EBITDA is at 254 million, and the EBITDA margin is at 11%. Our profit after tax is at 2,093 million. This includes a reversal of a provision for tax related to the NIIT Technology transaction as a result of the recent changes in the tax code. For our business, the key highlights were we added two new managed training services customers in this quarter. One, a very large semiconductor manufacturing company, and second, a large transportation association. The visibility is now at $250 million. It's up 11% YOY. In our skills and careers business, our StackRoute and TPaaS initiatives continue to show a robust growth. From an individual-specific corporate business perspective, the business is back on the path of growth after about a couple of quarters of muted growth. The revenue of the business, of the corporate business, stood at 1,740 million, up 8% Y-on-Y and 14% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. In constant currency terms, the revenue is also up 8% Y-o-Y. The 14% quarter-on-quarter increase in run rate was contributed by revenue from new customers that were added in Q4 and Q1, increased volume from our existing customers, and also the education program delivery launch of the programs we built for the Real Estate Council of Ontario. This is a project that we've been working on for the last couple of years, and Q2 was the first quarter in which we saw revenue from this project. This is as it was scheduled about 2.5 years ago. So the project has been on schedule and has met our expectations from a program launch perspective. Our business continues to attract new global companies as customers, and our customers continue to be among the top 5 to 10 companies in their category. This is also reflective of the 37 Brandon Hall Awards that this business won this past year or this past quarter. This is the maximum number of Brandon Hall Awards we have won. Brandon Hall Awards are considered the Oscars of learning and development. And if you were to look at the percentage of awards we won about 6% of the total Brandon Hall Awards awarded this past quarter. So that really says to us, and hopefully to you as well, that A, the excellence in quality that we deliver is not just recognized by our customers, but also it is recognized by industry leaders who judge these competitions. Second, the Brandon Hall Awards and the categories of Brandon Hall Awards where we have won show that we are creating positive and substantial business impact for our customers. So that was really heartening to note. Further, like I pointed out earlier, we added two managed training services customers this past quarter, and the visibility as of September 30th stands at 250 million. It's up 11% YOY. The EBITDA of the corporate business is at 271 million, up 14% YOY and up 21% quarter on quarter. The EBITDA margin is at 16% and it's up 86 basis points on a year on year basis. With respect to our skills and careers business, the revenue was at 583 million. As stated earlier, we continue to rationalize product offerings in line with our stated goal of moderating our exposure to government contracts and low margin products. Given discontinuance of some of these product lines, our go forward SNC business grew at 4% on a year-on-year basis. The go forward business constitutes 97% of the SNC business. The India business, which is a part of the SNC business, grew for the third successive quarter on the back of robust growth in StackRoot and the TPaaS initiatives that we had launched about 1.5-2 years ago. The EBITDA stood at 34 million. The EBITDA margin is at 6%. In terms of our schools business, as you are aware, the schools business is a seasonal business. Most of the revenue in the schools business is during the fourth quarter of the business. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time discussing that business. From an overall perspective, NIIT now has a very strong balance sheet. The net cash stands at 16.6 billion. During the quarter, we deposited the balance tax related to the NIIT Technologies transaction. The DSO has improved to 70 days versus 74 days at the end of Q2 last year. The operating ROCE is at 15.3%, and our headcount is marginally up by about 19 folks. Overall, I think the quarter performed as per our expectations, and we are really pleased with the quality and the excellence of work that the teams have put in. That's all I had in terms of my prepared comments. Vijay, did you want to take everyone through some of the points that we discussed earlier?
Okay. So I'll talk about the portion to do with the special committee's recommendations as well as the buyback procedure. So the buyback was approved by the shareholders and on October 3rd, and based on that, a draft letter of offer was submitted to SEBI, and at this point of time, we are awaiting SEBI's approval to that draft letter of offer, following which the letter of offer and the process will get triggered off. At this point of time, the project is exactly as per the schedule that we had shared at the beginning of the process, which was 10th of August. The second is on the tax benefits that we got because of the announcement of new tax rules. So NIIT Limited opted for the option where we would pay lower tax going forward, but would not therefore be covered by the MAT. And this gave us the benefit of about 179 crores in MAT reduction, which had to be balanced by the MAT credit in our books, which was about 9 crores, and therefore 170. And after accounting for the balances, that was because of deferred tax credit as well as the taxation due in this quarter, the overall benefit, which is visible in our books, is about 164 crores. So this is a very positive news for us, and that's why we welcome the new tax regime. On the overall rationalization restructuring and other recommendations of special committee, one of them was to rationalize the low profit, the low margin, high capital intensity, and high-risk businesses. And one of those actions have already got triggered off with our moving the operations of the government skills business from NIIT Yuvajyoti to NIIT Limited, and then NIIT Yuvajyoti now goes below the line as a part of the discontinued business operations. There was another transaction to do with a joint venture which we had with Genpact. This again had become was rather small, and this business is proposed to be brought back into NIIT, and the joint venture is being wound up. As announced earlier, NIIT bought over the stake of Genpact at a fair value, which was very close to the subscribed value. And now the transfer of operation, the board just approved this afternoon, and based on that, the next steps will get taken. Again, it's proposed that after the transfer of business, NIIP and NYJ, both will be applied for liquidation in times to come. There was a further simplification done of subsidiaries, and will be visible in the number of subsidiaries. Some of those were step-down subsidiaries in China, whereas we have completed the projects, some of the CJVs that we had to create locally for local business had to be closed. So those are being done as we speak. Those are the actions which I've taken so far. The special committee is still in the process of examining other businesses. Certain growth capital opportunities have been identified, and that will get further clear as we progress. And tomorrow also there is a continuation of some of the committee meetings of the board, where some of these discussions will be taken forward. And based on that, at appropriate times, we would be keeping you informed. That, according to me, is the total brief that I have at this point of time. We'll now open it up for Q&A, and Sapnesh, myself, as well as the leadership team around the table, we'll try to address all your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nisa Vakaria from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is for the first time that we have seen the EBITDA margin in the corporate learning business go to 16% from normally 15%. And it also coincides with the execution of the Canada deal in this quarter. Can the margins head higher as and when we execute that deal, going ahead?
Thanks for the question, Nisar. I think there is potential, and this is something that I've said many times, there is potential for margin improvement in our corporate business. And as I've also said in the past, we've been reinvesting all that potential in improving sales and marketing, given the headroom that this business has. I think we will continue to invest substantially in sales and marketing to exploit that headroom and accelerate growth. While we might see some improvement in margins, but what I did want to mention is that NIIT will continue to aggressively invest in sales and marketing to exploit opportunities that are in front of us.
Because of that investment, sir, the depreciation expense also has gone up by 1 crore quarter on quarter, from 12.7 crores to 13.7 crores. So this depreciation expense at some point of time will normalize, because we don't see too much profit in the, reported profit after tax due to the high depreciation expense.
I think let me attempt to answer that question. This is because of reclassification of accounts after a change in Ind AS standards, which we had discussed last quarter. It is Ind AS 116, which is where leases have to be, including premises leases, have to be classified as capex, and therefore part of the rental expense goes into depreciation and interest categories.
I understand. And last question for me.
That's the reason you don't see a difference in PAT.
Sure, sir. And my last question is that are there any more deals in the pipeline, like the large Canada deal, in the near future?
We have more than one deals in the pipeline. Let's just say that it's plural. We have deals in the pipeline that are large, and we are aggressively pursuing them.
Okay.
And last quarter, we got
and,
another recall.
As you would have known, we got a large deal last quarter that we announced. And as I said earlier, we started accruing revenue from that and other deals that we acquired last quarter.
I understand. And lastly, sir, I think we've done a very good job at, you know, normalizing the skills and career business, and the EBITDA has now come to 6%. But some of the peers or the competition, you know, make EBITDA margins northward of 25-30%. Now, I understand this is a direct function of growth, but any thoughts or insights on this business?
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, there are two initiatives that we started about 2 years ago. They are both growing very robust, in a really robust way. I'll not go into specific numbers because it's still early days for those initiatives. But suffice it to say that both our StackRoute business and our TPaaS business are growing very well. And I think over the next few quarters, you'll see those initiatives lead the growth improvement in the SNC business. While I know it has buffeted around the low single digit mark, might still do that over the next one or two quarters. But I think as those initiatives mature and become a more substantial part of our India business, you'll start seeing the results of that investment.
Okay. Thank you so much and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shraddha Agarwal from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on growth returning back to CLG business. First question is, what drove growth in CLG this quarter? Was it across the portfolio or was it some top clients who drove growth?
Let me dial back a couple of quarters and talk a little bit about why growth left us for a couple of quarters, and that might help answer your question on why growth came back. And I think I've said this over the last two calls. We have about 51 customers now. And out of those customers, some of our customers had got into M&A-related structuring over the last couple of quarters. There were also another couple of customers who had environmental issues, which I'll not go into specifics, but just assume they had substantial environmental issues. One of them, an aerospace company, and another one who supplies engines to an aerospace company. These businesses are leaders in their respective categories, and they had issues. Any time a business has issues that are as substantial as that, they try to cut down their L&D expenses, just as they try to cut down all other discretionary expenses. And we got caught in that. That's what caused us to show low growth over the last couple of quarters, because some of our run rate business came down quite substantially. We continue to do business with these customers, but the volumes came down. As you may have noticed, we acquired we continued to increase the velocity of customer acquisition over the last few quarters, and that's what really helped us in getting back to growth. So the new customers that we acquired in our Q4 and Q1 started generating material revenue in Q2, and that's what caused growth to come back. I think as we continue to provide solid service to our existing customers, including the ones who had paused their work or reduced their volume with us, as those businesses come back online and get past the environmental issues, I think those customers also will come back to run rate. And we'll see our growth rates coming back.
Right, sir, please.
Long answer to the short question.
Sure. So I think last quarter you had indicated a broad range of 10 to 15% growth in CLG. So would we still stick to that revenue growth trajectory, or do we see some upside to this number?
At this time, we are fairly confident of that range.
Okay. But the client-specific challenges are all behind us. We do not see any further ramp-downs in any of these accounts, right?
See, that's a leap of faith that you have to make. It's hard to tell who's going to buy whom next quarter. I'm sure you might be able to tell about your customers, but it's hard for us to tell about our customers.
Sure. And secondly, on SMC, you said that, StackRoot and that the business has started contributing TPaaS area. So how much proportion of revenue would be coming in from TPaaS and StackRoot to SMC India now?
Let's just say that it's material, but we are not at a point where we are starting to discuss it.
And how many clients would we have onboarded this quarter in both these businesses, if that number you could give out?
CLG, we added two MTS customers. And in the corporate business, we added two MTS customers. And in our skills and careers business, we added three large customers. The tally of our managed training services customers crossed 50 this past quarter, and we are at 51 managed training services customers.
Sure, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ganesh Shetty, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for a good set of numbers and a good performance in CLG business. Sir, SNC business is, I think, still showing some stress as far as sales are concerned. Now we're stuck at around 60 crore for quite a long time now. And can you just let us know how this could be improved in coming quarters?
I sure can. I think you asked the question about our SNC business.
Yeah.
Our SNC business is going through transformation, as I mentioned to you earlier. We have invested a fair bit in two initiatives which are growing at a robust pace, while some of the older things that we've been doing have been ramping down, and that's why you see growth muted. Even though there is substantial excitement in what we are doing with these new initiatives and more excitement in terms of when we talk to our customers and see the outcomes that they are getting from the education that their employees receive at the StackRoot center. So what we are doing is pathbreaking. It is very exciting and it is highly scalable. We are in the process of trying to invest so that we can achieve scale. And I think, like I mentioned, over the next several quarters, you'll start to see the impact of this investment reflect in our growth.
Yeah, so my second question is regarding same CLG business. Corporate learning business is now, I think, has achieved critical mark, and now we are on our way to a good run rate and revenue growth also. And is there any possibility of an acquisition in near future, like last time we had Eagle Solution acquisition, and we could add some more strength to our CLG business? And I just wish to know how that part of our business is growing, and is there any other acquisition targets what we are aiming for to further strengthen our CLG business?
From an overall perspective, inorganic growth is a substantial part of our go-forward growth strategy. We are looking at growth through acquisitions, both in India as well as outside of India. We have appointed an entity to help us with the growth aspirations that we have for our corporate business. And as and when things materialize, we will keep you informed.
That's all from me, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just one question from my side. For this 335 crore buyback, does this include buyback tax as well, or this is excluding that tax?
This is excluding the tax. If with tax, the amount will be 410 crores if it is fully subscribed.
Okay. Thanks a lot. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sangeeta Purushottam from Cogito Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon and congratulations for a good set of numbers. My
Thank
question,
you.
Actually, I think I keep coming back to the same question across calls, is really relating to your schools business. You talked a little bit about some part of the business which is discontinued, which is NIT Yuva. Was that earlier a part of the schools business? I didn't completely understand that. And what happens to the rest of the business? Have you made any progress in taking a strategic look at it, like you had said that you'd be looking at this business to see what you need to do about it? If you could just tell us a little bit about that.
Thanks for your question. I think it's an important question. The NIIT Yuva Jyoti business is our skills business. This is run in partnership with NSDC.
Okay.
This is to skill the youth of India for achieving entry-level jobs across services, the services sectors.
Right.
That has actually nothing to do with our schools business.
Okay.
It is a business that we predominantly transact with state governments or overall CSR related entities.
Okay.
And that's a business that has been refocused on a go-forward basis.
Okay.
With respect to your question on our schools business, like we had said earlier, the committee reviewed the schools business. It also appointed an entity to get an external point of view about that business. And I think we have identified a few options that we are looking at for the strategy from a go-forward perspective. It is going to, however, take us another few months to decide on what to do. We have looked at what's going on in the market. As I had said to you earlier, there is a very, very substantial opportunity in schools. But on the other side, there are regulatory uncertainties as well as other issues that play. So we are taking a little bit longer to come up with a considered view, and I think we will have our strategy solidified over the next 3 to 4 months.
And at the moment, on a balance sheet basis, how much capital is actually invested in this business? And by capital, I mean everything, which is working capital investment, fixed assets, how much, past losses, whatever, how much have we actually invested in this business to date? Hello?
Yeah, it's approximately 25 crores, but that's ex-memory, and we could give you a more accurate number.
So as you know, the school's business is an independent subsidiary. It's called MLSL, Mind Champion Learning Solutions Limited, and the total capital employed, which is actually very difficult to determine immediately because part of that business used to be in NIIT, and therefore some of the working capital of that entity when they were dropped down into a subsidiary got left behind. But right now the correct number on the balance sheet of MLSL is 25 crores.
Okay, so it would be this 25 crores plus whatever losses we would have incurred in the past, which
Very
is what
correct.
Would have got through NIT's balance sheet,
Very,
right?
Very correct. Very correct.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of P. Sachdev from Albatross Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Could you throw some light on the distribution of cash once the buyback is completed going forward?
Yeah, so at this point of time, just to give you the math again for the benefit of all of them, all of you, is from the 2,000 odd crores that we got through the acquisition, after accounting for tax, which is less by 170 crores compared to old calculations, the rest of the numbers remain the same. The total cash available for growth capital as well as part of it for distribution is 1,430 crores, of which we have already committed 510 crores for distribution. And as far as growth capital is concerned, during this quarter, we will get a clearer picture of the number. Given the fact that right now there is a buyback process in the offing, at this point of time, the board cannot even consider any proposal for distribution. But certainly, there will be opportunities for further distribution, as we have stated before. And that would be taken up after the completion of the buyback process.
So is there a time of distribution? You know, I understand the buyback is on and it could take its own time, subject to approvals, but is there a timeline for further distribution?
Depending on the method of distribution, assuming that the buyback process gets over in the month of January, and depending on after that, the meetings, I guess one should expect some things to happen by end of the year, along with the financial, because by then we would already be towards the end of the financial year.
Okay, good to hear that. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth B, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah.
Firstly, many congratulations on the great numbers and the great year that NIIT has had, especially in a turbulent market and turbulent market conditions that we've all been through. So I think it shows great strength on the part of the promoters and the promoter entity as to how they've managed the flux in businesses and how they've created value for shareholders all across the value chain, be it small shareholders like myself and larger clients of yours. Saying that, I had a few questions and I just wanted to ask those. So firstly, sir, you mentioned that the total cash on books is 1,430 crores minus. So is this the total cash on books after the buyback 510 crores extra has been added, or that will have to be further subtracted? So if I were to ask you, what would be the net cash on books on NIIT post buyback, assuming 100% tendering happens?
Yeah, so first of all, I think you should attend this conference more often. Your words are nice and hope we continue to live up to your words, but that's in jest. No, the 1430 crores is, I was giving an account of the money that we got from divestment and where is it committed for. So at this point of time, the net cash in the books is 1,666 crores, give or take.
Okay.
And point decimal. Now, that obviously does not include a few things. There is an indemnity reserve that we have kept because of the entire transaction. There was an indemnity period. So that's built into this. The tax has, according to us, whatever taxation was due, we had deposited it in the first two installments itself, so therefore there is no more tax liability coming on because of the transaction. And the third issue is that the dividend has already been distributed in these results, and the buyback is not yet started because it's awaiting now at this point of time SEBI approval, which will come. So the account that I gave was, and that's normally a question which comes from the analyst community, is that please tell us what did you do with the money that you got out of divestment. So I was giving an account of that. In this, there is the benefit of cash which must have come from operations, as well as the cash which we got from treasury income, etc., etc. So this and 1430 should not be compared. And I hope I have answered your questions. If you want to understand any of the details of this cash, we could spend some time. But
so,
I guess
sir,
there is.
Sir, sir, the 1666 that you are mentioning, the indemnity reserve would be added to this, or it includes the indemnity? And secondly,
it has the indemnity.
It's included.
No, in 1666, those 220 crores has been kept. Why? Because it's a reserve kept, so it's available in the books.
So, secondly, I had questions regarding RICO, the project that we're doing in CLG.
Yeah.
So now the fact that we're doing RICO, can you give us like a sort of a revenue number per quarter that's adding to the bottom line because of RICO? And you also mentioned two new corporate clients. So what revenue visibility can we see in terms of numbers on the bottom line as far as these three large contracts are concerned? And secondly, sir, what as a number do you classify as a large contract order? Like what number should we think? Is it 100 crores, 200 crores? So what figure would you give that as?
Okay, so Sapnesh will answer this. These are very good questions. So I think Sapnesh will answer it. It's good education for all. Yeah.
Thanks for asking the question. A lot of what you asked impinges on client confidentiality. So we can't get into specifics of how much revenue do we earn from a specific customer, whether it's RICO or Shell or whoever else. So we can't get into specific numbers.
Okay.
What I can say is that a large customer for us is a customer who does about $7 to $10 million of revenue per year with us.
And therefore, a contract for us will be typically
Our contracts tend to be 3 to 5 years. Large contracts tend to be longer in duration, so about 5 years. So you could say a large contract will be a $35 to $50 million contract for us.
Right. Sir, a few more questions regarding the strategic direction of the company. So why is it that when we're looking at acquisition, since you guys have been running NIT Technologies and you have basically sold that and gotten now focusing completely on NIT. Now, my question was, we're a company sitting on 1,600 crores of cash. So it's basically like we have one, I would classify SNC and CLG as two small businesses for people of your stature. So we have two small businesses running which can be looked at. Why is it that the 1,600 crores is not looked at as a startup capital for two very accomplished IITians to look at something in the technical field or look at other unrelated businesses, maybe acquisitions of startups or investments in other companies? Or is the company looking at that because you have added Mr. Kashyap on the board who has been involved in buying and selling of startups and has got his startup acquired?
Startup.
Is there a certain amount of capital that we're looking to break the tag of just skills and careers and corporate learning group and go into something bigger? Because that's where you guys can generate greater value for shareholders as compared to just focusing on training. Because my worry is that whenever there's a recession, the first budget that gets cut is your training and development. So why? So shouldn't NIT as a company, considering it has the brains behind it, to look at unrelated businesses which can create greater value than just focusing on CLG?
I think, as I mentioned to you, you should attend this more often. Your enthusiasm is very contagious. Thank you very much for your suggestions, but I think, and for your nice words, but I think these and some more are under discussion. And at this point of time, in an investor call and in our investor communication, we should be talking only about what has already got decided. So when we look at the future, we start from first principles and look at all opportunities. We have a certain vision and mission to which we are committed to. And that has done us well so far. And we hope, we think there is a lot of headroom in what we have done, and we would like to make sure that we take advantage of all the core competencies that we have built, as well as marry them together to get the best out of the opportunity that we have in future. But any ideas from your side are also welcome. Please do give us ideas. At this point of time, we can put many of them as we are thinking them through together.
Because, sir, as an investor.
Thank you very much.
Sir, because as an
Sorry?
investor, because sir, as an investor, when I look at the company and I look at the group, I see the fact that you build businesses which are far bigger than training services. So I feel that as an investor, considering now that we have growth capital, it's important, and instead of just focusing on, say, a 10% or a 12% growth in CLG, it's time to now take it to the next level by focusing on other businesses, maybe which are technical in nature, which deal with technology.
Certainly, certainly. And I think all this and more is already under in the thought process. So more as we become clearer. So thank you very much once again, and please join us again and keep contributing your ideas.
And sir, lastly, just a recommendation and a slight complaint as well. I've been trying to get through to JM Financial, the brokers for the buyback. They just do not answer investor queries, and they do not get on calls. And even when they do, and I was able to manage to get them after 10 phone calls, they gave me answers that they were not willing to take ownership for their answers. As a result of which, I had a lot of problems on the record date as far as my stocks were concerned. So it would be really good if a message could be given to JM Financial that the investor queries be answered, and they take ownership of the fact that what they're saying is accurate and correct, not a maybe answer where I have to then decide what's in my best interest. I mean, a procedural thing, JM Financial should be able to take ownership and say, this is how it is to be done, and if it is not done, we are liable.
No, I think we take very serious note of your comment and feedback. I am sure JM is also on the call. Somebody or the other must be there. But we'll take it up independently with them, and you can be rest assured. I can give you a point of contact in case, and that is our investor relations, Kapil Saurabh.
I spoke to him yesterday.
And he also gave you a similar response?
No, I was very satisfied with Kapil's response, but I wanted to bring it
You
up
were very satisfied.
To the management
Yes. So thank you very much.
because in the future I would be having further queries because the process is long and I'm holding a significant number of shares that I need to tender. So.
Kapil Saurabh exists for you only. So,
Right.
for the investor community. So, if you feel JM is not giving you the right responses instead of trying there and not succeeding and then trying Kapil, you can straightaway contact Kapil.
Right.
Kapil is available 24/7, and so is Deepak Bansal. He's just raised his hand in the. He says, "Look, I am the company secretary. I am always available. I look after all shareholders' interests. Why don't I know about it?" So, you
Sure.
have these two willing takers, and
Right.
I think you should take full advantage of this opportunity.
Sure. Thank you so much. Although I tried to contact
You
Mr. Deepak yesterday,
can come across to our office. It'll be a great idea to meet you as well. But
Sure,
thank you
my
very much.
pleasure.
There are others on the call, so maybe we should give them a chance to ask some
Thank you so
questions.
much, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead. Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on the strong numbers. Basically, a small follow-up. Any plans on the allocation towards driving the organic growth? I think on an organic front, you said that you are doing more, what to say, you hired agency to help you out on that. But any step that we have moved forward both on the organic front and inorganic front towards allocating this capital?
Absolutely. A significant number of initiatives. And as each of these initiatives starts coming online, we will keep you posted. But suffice it to say, at this time, significant number of organic initiatives to accelerate growth. An easy one is increasing investment in sales and marketing and a number of associated activities. But coming completely agree. There are a number of organic initiatives that are currently on. One of the areas that we are focusing a lot on is significantly expanding our consulting capabilities in the corporate space. We started doing that about 7 months ago, and we are going to start investing more significantly so that we can bring higher level of value to our customers.
Right. So, anything in terms of what we talked about that, you know, a better balance sheet is what give us a much better position in terms of participating in large deals. So any those reference you want to mention which could have helped us post this transaction or these are just early days on that?
I think that's a very good question. A strong balance sheet is a key criteria for Fortune 500 companies to work with a partner. And I think, given the strength of our balance sheet, we now are in a better state, better shape to compete. We are better positioned today to make investments like the one that we made with respect to the Real Estate Council of Ontario. So, like you pointed out, strength of balance sheet is an important criteria for our customers, and the fact that our balance sheet is strong is comforting and heartening for our customers and will give us competitive advantage.
Okay. Fair enough. That's it from my side. If I may add one, I could not get much implication on the tax thing that we did. If you could put more emphasis on what exactly has happened and how it changes actual tax liability and cash part of it from payouts. Payout as in tax, cash tax payouts.
Thank you. We seem to have lost his line, so we'll move to the next question in the meanwhile. The next question is from the line of Supratim Basu from AmeriCorp Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you. So if I could go back to the depreciation question which was asked earlier, you mentioned that moving to Ind AS has raised the depreciation number. So did you move to Ind AS from first quarter of this year or last year?
No. Ind AS, we shifted to the standard last year, and therefore one more year before that. Overall, Ind AS transition. This is AS 116,
sure.
which is a change which was brought about, which is effective 1st of April, 19.
Sure.
So we are already an Ind AS company. That's not an issue because that was mandatory and we did that as per the due date. So our accounts are aligned with Ind AS even for last 3 years. If you read now 17, 18 and 19 years ending FY17, FY18, FY19. But in 1st April 19, AS 116, a new standard came up, a change came up, which is to about accounting for what was earlier called operating lease is now treated as financial lease in the books by law.
Yes. So what happens is that the what was above the EBITDA line now has moved below the EBITDA line. Am I right in that? The expense on... Yeah. So, and that has happened... So that's happened for first quarter FY20 or first quarter FY19?
FY20.
Okay, so that difference of 3 crores that we see is primarily related to this. So effectively, we should be looking at the EBIT number rather than the EBITDA number to get a better idea going forward on the margin side and cash flow side.
Yes, even EBIT will not give you a correct picture because that is divided in two parts. part goes in depreciation. Larger part goes in depreciation. Smaller part goes in interest. Interest
okay.
is below the EBIT line. The
okay,
right
so
thing to compare with PBT.
Okay, so which segs in pretty nicely into the next request that I have, which is that NIT should publish a balance sheet and cash flow on a quarterly basis.
Which we did last quarter, and which even right now it's a provisional balance sheet that we do publish. It's not fully audited. It's a limited review balance sheet. But last quarter was a fully audited, and I think it's just convenience. There's no other reason because there are a number of subsidiaries which are spread all over the world, and therefore to ensure that things happen on time, we follow this process. But take your suggestion. In any case, two more quarters later, you will have the fully audited. But balance sheet is available at all levels, at all in all quarters.
No, okay. It just basically helps give a better picture on the cash flow side. So that's fine. And then on the tax write back, 163 crores at a net level. This is just an accounting entry, right? There's no actual movement of cash that is happening here.
There is a prevention of future movement of cash, which would have happened in the rest of the year.
Which is due to the movement because you've taken.
No, we would have deposited 315 crores of tax, MAT, minimum alternate tax, by end of the year, of which we had paid the first two installments of 145 crores when the law changed. And coincidentally, 145 crores is the amount that is due from us, plus minus a little bit. So therefore, we do not now have to deposit MAT, which we would have otherwise deposited in this year.
Okay. So that was
sorry,
on the...
And that, sorry, just to complete, and that 315 crores of MAT we had accounted in the last quarter. So as per the accounting practice, that had to be reversed in this.
I get that. Okay, that makes sense. But there is, so if I were to look at Q1 and Q2 in conjunction, one thing that still doesn't tally from a numbers perspective is you got 2,000 odd crores from the sale of NIT Tech. Other income
yeah.
is, on a net basis, is 1,300 crores. Tax paid out last quarter is 145 crores, and on the from a corporate law perspective, it was 316 odd crores. So the 13 plus 316 doesn't add up to 2000. So what am I missing here?
Remember, in other income, you account for the book value of the share which was as per in your books and the sale value, because you account for the profit that you got out of this activity. So for profit, that's not the cash that you got. That
so the book, you're saying that the book value was 700 crores.
Was 598, if I'm not mistaken. Was 598 crores of NIT Technologies. 518. Okay. Was 518. I'm just rattling off these numbers because
sure.
whatever I remember. But exact numbers are close to that. Now, why did that happen? Just to explain you that.
Sure.
NIT Technologies a few years ago was held by a SPV called Scantech.
Mm-hmm.
And Scantech was merged with NIT, and when the merger happened at that time, NIT Technologies value in the books of NIT was revalued at 500 and whatever odd crores. 80, 80,
80, 80.
Why the smoke?
That's why the book value is... Yeah.
Okay, got that. And... Okay, so I think I'm done on the financial questions, and if I have the time, can I just ask you a couple of questions on the corporate strategy side? When I met up with Mr. Roy about a year back, he had mentioned that sales and marketing expenses will continue to move ahead of revenue numbers for the next 18 months, 12 to 18 months. Are we at the inflection point, or do we still have some more time to go where you will be spending more on the sales and marketing side than your revenue growth?
I think I'll ask Sapnesh to answer that question. And on a separate note, Supratim, nice to have you back.
Thank you, Ajay.
Okay.
Thanks for the question. I think, as I pointed out earlier, there is a very substantial headroom as far as our corporate business is concerned. I'll be repeating if I said that in Fortune 1000, there are still 1,000 companies. Only 20%-25% of those Fortune 1000 companies have outsourced their learning in any substantial way. So there is significant headroom, and it is important for us to continue to over-invest in sales and marketing so that we can grow faster.
So just as a quick follow-up, if you could very briefly explain what is the sales and marketing strategy that you're following in terms of number of salespeople that you may have, and how do you approach new clients, etc.?
I think that's the level of detail that we do not get into. But I think suffice it to say that our corporate sales and marketing strategy would not be very, very different from the corporate sales and marketing strategy for any B2B outfit who is meeting with Fortune 500 companies.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, and all the best, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I think we went through a very detailed round of questions. Thank you very much. And your questions always help us reflect more on what we have done and what we should be doing. Thank you very much for your very enthusiastic response to these results. I think the team is definitely enthused to do better. And thanks for all these remarks. We are, as usual, available to you. Kapil Saurabh looks after investor relations. Deepak Bansal is the company secretary. Amit Roy is the CFO. Bimal heads the S&C part of the business. And Shailesh and DJ, they are based in U.S. but are here. So in case you have any questions, we'll be very happy to answer. And thank you very much for your support, cooperation, as well as guidance. So with that, wishing you a happy Diwali.
And prosperous Diwali.
Happy and prosperous Diwali, telecom sector aside. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.